We are holding today's Mishnah is Perek Tet in Masechet Shviyos, Mishnah Aleph. It's the opening Mishnah, and hopefully Sir Richard will give us his beautiful...
I think somebody else should, because I haven't been following the Mishnah. I've been leaving early. I just happened to be here still dozed a bit.
Oh my gosh, our very own Matnat Beit Choron. Ay, ay, ay.
That's amazing, he slept into the next year.
Yeah, that's great. So why don't we make this a new beginning, Sir Richard? And with this beginning, may it be a beginning that sees you through the rest of Shas. Go for it, come on. Look at this, what a good man. I think the shaking of the head was a balloon header, at least, right? So, okay, you're not in trouble. Okay, so let's talk about now what's happening. I mean, we've gone through many of the dinim in the previous prakim about what it is that you can do with money that you have from Shviyas and what it is that you cannot do. Okay, right, so we said, you can't buy avodim shvachos, you can't buy something that is not for achila, like a behema temeah. You can't pay up any debts that you have. You can't use it to pay your entrance fee to the amusement park or to the mikveh, and so on and so forth. Now the question is, I mean, because we have, A, limitations on the usage of money from Shviyas, which was the previous parak, and B, we also have the idea that the Kedusha Shviyas is transferred to whatever it is that was used to purchase that Shviyas. And now we've got a problem. How many people know what they're allowed to use money for Shviyas for? And how many people are makbid on that? Now this leads to a question. Can you give over money that will be Kodesh B'Kedusha Shviyas to someone who's an Am Haaretz and he does not value the Kedusha Shviyas and he won't treat the money, which is now Kodesh B'Kedusha Shviyas? But that would mean that even though we saw before that we're not allowed to do business with Perish Shviyas, and that would mean that if somebody's got a store in which he's selling Kedusha Shviyas things with, we wouldn't be allowed to buy from that person. It would be usher, because then we would be aiding and abetting Schora B'Kedusha Shviyas. But you are certainly allowed to sell on an individual basis Perish Shviyas. I mean, for instance, I have leftover from Perish Shviyas that I collected. What am I supposed to do? Let it rot? Or can I sell it to someone? Do I have to give it away to someone? I'm allowed to sell it for someone. And how about if I have Perish that I collected, but I also need some bread? How do I get the bread? So I'm allowed to sell sufficient to provide me with other food. But now the question is, who can I sell it to? And who can I buy from? Do I need to worry about the Kedusha of Shviyas in the hands of an Am Haaretz or not? So then the question would be, if this person is not doing business, I don't see that he's got a store, but he's selling things. Now, he may be selling things that he actually planted and that he is being over on Isurei Shviyas on. Well, I can't buy stuff like that from him, even if it wouldn't be the problem of Isur Mesiras Kedusha Shviyas, because the halacha of the Isur of Mesira of Kedusha Shviyas is only where I have a problem with the real chashad, what it is that he is going to be dealing with. So in that case, normal person, I don't have a problem. I'm allowed to deal with him because I'm not chashad him. And what I can do is I can utilize the money of Shviyas up until the amount that is already too much, which is more than shalosh su'udais. So in the event that I have things with an Am Haaretz who's being mocher shviyas, and he's being mocher peres that are not generally raised in a field. So we have like the kind of things that you collect in just from Hefker. So over there, I am allowed to buy it, but the question is, I can't buy a lot, because if I do, so then I have to worry about the money being misused. So if I just give a little bit of money, where the person has enough to live on, survive on, for one day, and that's a share of Shalosh Seudais. So there, if I don't have to worry that he's selling me something that was misused Kedusha Shvias, that he grew, and now I'm aiding and abetting. No, these are things that are hefker, and I usually don't have to be choshesh. And I don't have to worry that he's going to be using this money for going ahead and buying something that is also to buy with Kedusha Shvias, because it's just like enough to survive on. So I'm giving him enough for food that he can go into a store and buy himself a loaf of bread. So there, I would be allowed to engage with him. So then the question would be, what type of things, and the Mishnah lists, Dafka, six things that are sold by people, but are not grown by people. Now, obviously, this would all have to do with the place and what is going on, but this was the norm at the time of the Mishnah. So therefore, what it's saying is that anything...
We see it all the time. It's the norm here also. There are foods, we see the Arabs collecting these things, and they come to Damascus and sell. It's very normal around here.
Okay, I don't know whether it's the same species, but maybe it is. I don't really know what these species are. You have that book. You could send us a picture, maybe, of each of these things, right? Okay, I don't know that it's really... I don't know that it's really... because, unfortunately, we are so distanced from nature that we don't even recognize most of the things, which is absolutely a bizarre. But anyway...
I just mean, on hog is there. There's certain plants that the Arab ladies get... And like husbar and people buy from them, you know that they just picked it after a rain. That's when it grows, that's how it's done.
Right, but I'm talking about to identify the meaning in the Mishnah. It's not that easy, even though there are words, belaz, that all of the Mepharshim bring, the word in laz, that definitely sounds like things that we do have. So, I don't know. So, pegam, which they all is ru, so it could be ru, and the yarbuzim. So, again, the yarbuzim, the belaz is asparagi, so I'm assuming it means asparagus, right? And it would be badafka hashotim, if that's the girsa. Some have another girsa, shitin, which is another meat. But yarbuzin hashotim would mean if it's just free-growing asparagus, like wild asparagus, and halaglugot. That's the most famous thing that we always find. It's always translated as purslane, and I have no idea. Like, you know, everybody loved their halaglugot, but okay. We learned that out from the Shifcha of Rebbe, if you remember, in Masechet Shabbos. And then we've got the kuzbar, and that is coriander, we always translate it as, but that would be kuzbar shabarim, which is collected by the Arabs on the mountains. But it doesn't grow in gardens. Hakarpas, you got celery, but this is celery that grows along rivers. Shibin Arot, you don't grow it in your, I guess these were like different medium. You could tell the difference of what's grown in a garden, which could have been done by Isser Shvias. And Gargar Shel Afar, so the over here, Gargar is always translated as rocket, which I assume is what we call rocket. And over here, afar would mean the place where the animals graze, so it would be out in the meadows. All of these things are potter from meiser, all the time, meaning not during Shemitah. They're always potter from meiser. Why? Because remember, hefker is potter from meiser. And we learn that out from the pasuk. There has to be the type of mean that people are makpid on. And that they grow. So it's shomur. So therefore, if they're put from Eiser all the time, then you can buy them from Anam Haaretz during Shemitah, because this explains both phenomena. She'en kayotze b'em nishmar. Things like this are not shomur. And therefore, if they're not shomur, they are neither a problem of having been over on Isser Shemitah, thereafter, and all 7 years, they're putter from Trumas and Maisras. And because of the fact that they don't have any value, we're not chayshish that the Am Haaretz is mamish doing business and he's being shamer them and growing them or anything like that. that is also not a concern. So therefore, we're allowed to give him his three su'udas worth of stuff, because we're not chayish, that there's going to be a problem with the Am Ha'aretz. So we can do, even though it doesn't say here, but we've had this before, that you're allowed to buy a small amount, and that amount is sufficient for him to live off of for today. Obviously, if A, he's got a fruit stand where he's doing business, you can't buy anything, because then you're doing schora. Or if we know for a fact that he actually was shomer these things, then of course you can't do it. We're talking about min hastam. Okay. Now the question is about svichim. So svichim is a completely different issue. Remember that svichim are things that grow on their own from seeds that have fallen during the year. And we know that we have a gezerah that we were semech on in the Torah, that it's mashma, that whatever grows on its own, that is aser. Fine. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but that is only things that it's possible that you might have pretended grew on their own, and that therefore we asered it mishum svichi. So you're claiming, no, I just picked this in the field, and, you know, it just grew on its own, nobody. So it was just like regular Shemitah produce that I didn't plant, nobody planted. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's Vichei Chardal, because those are things that are not normally kept Shomur, these are, again, kinds of things that grow on their own, that would be Mutar, but not other things. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Kol Svichei Mutarim. You could see the difference between things that grow on their own and things that are cultivated. An entirely different level of shomer than there would be on things that grow on their own. There's a certain wildness that's attached to it that doesn't have the same richness and so on. So therefore, we don't aser svichim. And kol asvichin are mutarim, because min hastam, they would be hefker. So if somebody picks a couple of svichin, they would be mutter. Chutz mi svichei kruv. She'en kayotze ben biarkot sadeh. Things like kruv, which is very large, very well developed, needs a lot of care. Those things don't grow on their own. And the Chachomim say, no, kol asvichin are asurin because of this gezerah. Okay, so that's one approach, is the Rambam's approach, and this is nogea very much lahalacha. Now, others learn that the entire issue over here is the question, according to the Mandi Omar, who holds that svichim, all svichim have been asered stam v'midivrei chachomim. So the question over here is that those things that are gozer only mipnei Avrei Avera, as we said, but on things like Chardal not, Rabbi Shimon holds there's Bichlal no Gezera on Svichim because of the fact that we can see the difference, and therefore, why should I have to worry? Masha'enken, Svichei Kruv are different, not because of the fact that they need tending, but because there's no way to see the difference. They look like they grow very thickly, very big leaves, and there's no way to tell the difference. And the Chachomim goes there on all Svichim. And that's the Pashtus, that it's literally Svichei Shviyas. So it's a whole different approach to the Mishnah that I just want to mention, even though it's not a standard approach. And that is that we're not talking about Svichim, that we're Godlu in Shviyas, which is the normal use of the word for Svichim. But rather we're talking about Svichim, things that grew Beshishis, that now were only picked during Shviyas. We're calling that Svichei Shishis. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you're always allowed to eat it without Kedusha Shviyas, because the completion of the growth was during the sixth year. And even though I picked them now, I don't have to worry about it. Masha Enkin Kruv, there's a Gezerah, because since Kruv grows, and it is no way to tell the difference between the kruv that grows up during Shviyas and the kruv that sticks around for a long time, I could claim that it was from before, and it's really usher. So over there, I'm afraid that maybe he took it. I have no way to tell the difference in Svichei Kruv, not between cultivated Kruv and uncultivated Kruv, according to this approach, but between Kruv of Shishis and Kruv of Shvias. And Chachomim answer all of Svichei Shishis because of Svichei Kruv. So there, that would be a completely different approach. This is dependent on a girsa that we have in the Gemara, actually, in Sukkah. And because of that, it's not necessarily the correct approach to the Mishnah. I'm just bringing it up because some read it into the Mishnah as well. Okay, so we got up to basically the Svichei Chardal Mutarin, Alib Rabbi Yehuda, Shulnech Shidu Aleim Ovri Avera, and Rabbi Shimon say, Kola Svichei Mutarin, except for Svichei Kruv, and the Chachomim saying, Kola Svichei Asurim. Okay, so now the question is, what is this whole business about Svichei? So, this starts with a problem of how to understand the pasuk. This is a sugya that we had in Sukkah, Gemara Sukkah. And how do we understand the pasuk? Pasuk says that v'chi tomru manoch al bashana shviit. What are we going to eat? After all, we're not allowed heilo nizra. We're not allowed to plant. Okay, not allowed to plant, I understand that. But then it goes on to say, and we're also not allowed to go on the sofa tvoatenu. We're not allowed to gather in our produce. What does that mean? What do you mean? Why would you not be allowed to gather it in? If something grows during Shvias, so there's no iser of, there's only an iser of taking things and acting as if you're the owner, right? So suppose I've got an entire field that is full of potatoes, you know, and the potatoes grow. They keep growing. I picked the potatoes last year. I got all my potatoes that are growing from these roots this year. There's just as many potatoes or just as many pumpkins and all the things that I had as there were the year before. And I want to go in and gather my potatoes and eat them. Why? I don't understand. I mean, if the Irish survived on potatoes, why can't the Jews survive on potatoes? So what exactly does the pasuk mean? So Rabbi Akiva says a very dramatic thing. Rabbi Akiva says, you see from here that the Torah assured you from taking in anything that grew during Shvias, even though you didn't plant it. Because it says, what are we going to eat? What's the problem? Many things are perennials. So why would I not be able to eat? That is Rabbi Akiva's sheet. And even though he says the lashon of Rabbi Akiva is mikan samchu chachamim, he does not mean mikan somchu chachomim in the sense that it's only an asmachta bi alma, because we see that the response to Rabbi Akiva is that svichin are not osur midiraisa, they're only exer derabbanan. So obviously Rabbi Akiva held that they are osur midiraisa. Okay, so now in terms of the psak, almost everyone, including the Rambam, and all of the Rishon that we generally rely on for Psak, Paskin like the Chachomim, according to the general rule, over here it's the Chachomim, it's the Rabbim that argue with Rabbi Akiva, and we Paskin like the Chachomim, that it's the Rabbanan. So, what is the point of this whole idea? Why would the Rabbanan have assured the Svichim? How, by the way, did the Rabbanan understand the point? They understand, and this would explain the Mishnahs that follow. The Mishnahs that follow this discussion of Svichin seem to introduce a totally different question than the Perek begins with. Because like the rest of the Perek is dedicated to issues of Biur, which we'll discuss the next time we learn. But the Biur seems to be unrelated to the first Mishnah, which is discussing issues of money to the Amorites or Svichin. So what's the connection? Ah, but according to the Chachamim, the reason that the Torah talks about people complaining, what are we going to do, is because since anything that grows during Shvias has a din of biur, and it has to be available to the Chayot HaSadeh, then the moment that it's not available, I won't have anything to eat. So in a normal year, I would grow potatoes. Of course, I grow potatoes and I put them into a storage bin and I got enough potatoes to live on. But during Shvias, I can't do that. I'm not allowed to harvest my potatoes normally. I'm not allowed to store them. I can only take enough for a couple of days, right? So what am I going to eat? After the Zman HaBiur arrives, I'm in big trouble. So the next Mishnayos discuss, indeed, the problem of Biur and where does Biur apply? Fine. Okay, so then that's the point. What do we eat after Biur? So now that at least gives us a theme for this parak. So now why would the Rabbanan have asered Svichin? So there's really different approaches to the Svichin issue. Let's read from the Rambam and hear what the Rambam says. Called to the, this is the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Shemitah V'Yevo, and he opens up with the discussion of Svichin, and he says as follows. Kol shetotzi ha'aretz b'shnat ha'shvi'it, bein min zera shenafal ba mikonem shvi'is. So, whether something grows from seeds that fell on the ground before Shemitah, or bein min ha'ikarim shenikzru mikodem v'chazru v'asru, or from potatoes, where I took last year's potatoes and now new potatoes are growing, both of these things are called svichim. Bein mina asavim vayirakot sha'alu me'elehem, the elehem zera. Or what often happens is you have the wind drops, and the thing we don't even notice, and things keep growing, things are growing, and these are vegetables that seem to pop up out of nowhere, but that nobody ever would plant, and so on. All of these things are min ha'tera, ha'kol mutar la'ochlo min ha'tora. Shenemar v'hayta shabbat ha'aretz lachem la'ochla. As a matter of fact, even a soda, says the Rambam, shenitayva v'shvi'it v'tzamcha peroteha, mutarin ba'achila. Even a field that you went ahead and you fertilized it, you did all the things that were wrong, you just didn't plant, and the things that grew in it took great advantage of the fertilizer that you put in, that doesn't osir it. And if it grows, midiraisa, it would be perfectly okay for you to eat it. Because remember, when it says now, you know that it uses the lashon of svichin in sviak tzircha, which would mean that even those things that grow on their own, it says in the Torah, lo tiktzar. What does that mean? Doesn't that mean it's prohibited? No, says the Rambam. That means that lo tiktzar kederech shekotzer b'chol shana, means you can't gather it in, store it, act it as if you're the bialim on it. And indeed, if you were over on that, v'im katzar b'derech hakotzrim, you would get malchus. Let's say your kotzer kol hasada, and you go ahead and you make a pile, and then you use disha with your tractor. All those things you'd be chayav malchus on. But you're certainly allowed to take what you need, kotzer ma'at ma'at, and you could be choveit, and you can eat it. There would be no problem. Where does the problem arise? Continues the Rambam, the next halacha, midivrei sofrim. Midivrei sofrim, shiyu kol asvichim asurim ba'achila. Why? Loma gazru aleihem mipnei ovrei avera. Shelo yelech v'yizra tfu'a v'kitniot v'zeronei gina betoch sadeh u'beseter. What's going to prevent a person from coming out in the middle of the night, putting seeds of whatever he wants? It could be tfu'a, it could be chumus, it could be vegetables, he could put whatever he wants, it grows in his field. And he says, wow, goody, goody, look at this. My field grew all this wonderful stuff. I've got plenty to eat. And in fact, he planted it. So he's going to eat it, and he'll claim, these were svichim, how lucky I am. Because of that, the Chachomim answered the svichim in order that people not go out and actually work their fields and shvias in private when nobody sees. So lefichach asru kol hasvichim hatsomchim b'shvi'it. Now, this is a very interesting question. Is how about if somebody did do that? Somebody went ahead and he planted his field in shvi'is. Are the products of that planting usher or not? Now, what the Rambam says is it's unbelievable. Because he says, much later on, he says, in Halacha Tesvav, he says that if somebody did go ahead and plant, so then anything that grew up, in the next year. Right? So you plant it during the Shemitah. And now it grows up in Shminis. It's usher as Sfichim or usher. What do you mean it's usher as Sfichim? I thought we only usher the Sfichim because it's a given that this is usher, right? Fascinating. And the answer is wrong. Because what the Chachomim were trying to do, this Reb Shlomo Zalman has a whole chelek on in his Tshuvas. So he says the meaning of Sfichim was not to fight people that are actually Mechalal Shvias openly. The meaning of Sfichim was to prevent fakers from going out in the middle of the night and claiming that these were Sfichim. We're not out here to asser the things that people who are Mechalal Shvias are doing. The only problem is, as the Rambam points out, it would be ridiculous for us to asser Sfichim, and the Isser Sfichim wouldn't apply if you actually did it on purpose. That's crazy. So we have to allow the Isser Sfichim to cover all of the cases. But it's not that the primal case is a case where somebody goes out. Isn't that beautiful? Fine. So then if that's the case, it would be actually a Dirabbanan on the Sfichim as well. Now, the thing is, there are those who hold, and remember, we had the Rishonim who hold that Shomer is usher. And Kol Shekein planting during Shvias itself, the results of the planting would be usher. But that is the Shita of the Sma. And over here, too, by the way, there's a Shita of the Sma, Gupaskin's Mamish, like Rabbi Akiva, and that it's usher Midiraisa Sfichim. But again, this runs so much counter all of the Peskim that we don't really take it very much into consideration. So basically, we hold that it's a Derabbanan, and even if it was Beferish done, it's still Derabbanan. Okay, but the bottom line is that we're left with an Isser Derabbanan called Sfichim. Now, does the Isser of Sfichim also apply to Yerakot that grew, even though they started growing during Shishis, would they be usher if they continued growing during Shvias, right? I mean, remember, we had the Mishnah, the Beferish Mishnah in the previous parak. We said somebody who gives a guy an Isser and he says, go out and bring me in vegetables, right? So then that's not considered to asr the damim for perish vias. So the question is there an isr sfichin though, if the vegetables were growing in the Shana Shishis and they were then picked in the Shana Shvias? So we just saw that basically the Rambam holds that any kind of yirakot that are growing during the Shanat HaShvias are considered to be Sfichim. And this would be true even if they started growing during the Shishis, because the halacha is that when it comes to vegetables, remember what's the klal, we go according to the Lakita. So if the Lakita was during Shvias, then they should be considered to be Usher. So what do you do about the Mishnah we just spoke about, right? I mean, over there it says it's not considered to be Usher. So here is the famous machlokas of the recent, when I say recent poskim, I mean including the Chazon Ish as recent poskim. So according to Chazon Ish, the Rambam was only talking about something that grew during the Shvias, even though it had been planted during Shishis. But if it fully grew during Shishis, then we would not go according to the Lakita. So if it didn't have any growth during Shvias, there's no Isser of Sfichin at all. Halakha l'maisa, again, when I say recent Paiskim, I'm including all the way back to the Pasa Shulchan as a recent Paiskim, because that's when he was the one that really raised, yeah, as the Tamidei Agra, the issues that became relevant when people started coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So fine. So he holds that even if they started growing in the Shnat HaShishis, not that they were completely grown in the Shnat HaShishis, and that's basically even Ad Hayom, all of the poskim have ended up agreeing, but even Rav Avadya Yosef had agreed with that, and so because of that, the halacha is that it's only the Rambam's pshat, and we're makel bizman hazeh, shmita bizman hazeh, on adrabonan, not to aser besvichin. The only thing that is still unclear is what do you mean that it was tzomach? How much does it have to be tzomach? Okay, that's a machlokas. So according to Shlomo Zalman, tzomach means, as it usually does, that it either was a third grown, which is what we utilize for tua, or it had reached the stage of chanata, and so on. But in any event, these are relatively smaller questions that we have, right? Okay. So then that would mean that halacha lemaisa, we've got a lot of things that Zvichin would not apply to. First of all, peiros. There was never an iser of peiros because there's nothing you can do to grow peiros during the year. Well, it's not going to do you much good to plant a tree and to expect to get fruit out of it during trees. Fine. So anyway, that's not the issue. So there's no din of Zvichin on peiros whatsoever. And since the entire thing is a gezeira, maybe you'll come to plant during shvias. What would be the shaila of peiros? Now, the kind of thing is, if something keeps growing from already its own roots, I mean, would there be a gezeira on that as well? That it was already growing before? Well, that's what we've been talking about. What about a goy? Because today, this is a lot of the issue. If the goy owns it, is there an issue of svicha or not? So, what's a very interesting Rambam is that the Rambam says, since the whole idea of svicha was only to make sure that someone is not over on the iser of planting during shvi'is, why would we ask for svicha of a goy? He doesn't have an iser of planting during Shvi'as. It's not that the Svichin are an expression of the Kedusha Zaharetz during Shvi'as. It's a Gezerah. But how could a Gezerah apply to a Goy? And therefore, says the Rambam, there certainly is not going to be an iser of Svichin on something that's owned by a Goy, which of course raises the question nowadays with the whole Heter Mechira. So, I mean, the Heter Mechira means that the Karka is owned by a Goy, so then there shouldn't be any svichim, even though there are Jews that are using the Heter Mechira to actually go ahead and plant themselves in that area. So that would be a question about whether, okay, so should we aser svichim anyway? There are many who say that even if you personally don't rely on the Heter Mechira, but since the person that is doing the planting is relying on the Heter Mechira, so then, why would there be an Isser Svichin? The Isser Svichin is only not to allow him an opportunity to go against the halacha. But, I mean, he has a right to rely on the halacha. I mean, for heaven's sake, so many poskim say to him, go right ahead, there's no Isser. So then there shouldn't be an Isser Svichin even there, according to this, right? Okay, so then this is a very fascinating kind of heter, Bizman Hazeh. Now, we're also going to be learning, and we learned before, that there's areas of Eretz Yisrael that were not included bichlal in the Isurim, and that is an awful lot of places, which Rabbanea is going to, I guess, be showing us the next time we learn, when it's Benogea Bior. But that would mean that if you're talking about a Gzera Derabbana on a Shvi'ez Bezman HaZeh, which is Derabbana. Okay, so now you're talking about a Gzeira Derabbanan on an Isser Derabbanan on a suffix about whether this was part of the Eretz Yisrael that was Mikudesh with the Olei Bavel or not. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you could certainly see that there is a lot of room for Heterim on this kind of thing. So, I mean, that would mean that the whole, what we call the Arava, the Negev, the southern part of the Arava, or Aza, all of those places, even including Emek Beit Shan, which also has Svekas. So all of these areas, which would include the Bika, so we have the Bika, we have Emek Beit Shan, we have the entire area that is to the south of Rekem, I think Barnea has told us that Rekem is essentially, today is assumed to be Petra, is that correct? So that would mean a lot of the southern part of Eretz Yisrael is anyway not considered to be Kadosh. They're over here on a Suffolk and for Derabbanan, on Shemitah Derabbanan, L'chora you could be mekel, the same thing would be true about hydroponics, even though there is a machlokas in the Yerushalmi about growing things indoors. Also, we're mekel. And then that is, of course, I don't want to take up more of your time, just once we're talking already about lemaisa, there's also a major machlokas about whether Shemitah applies to things that are not edible, but are useful only for decoration, as opposed to useful for dyeing and so on, which Gemara discusses. So this would be the big shaila about the flowers, flowers and plants, and this is why IKEA had a big, big sign that all of these plants are sold as completely mutter l'mahadrin for Shemitah. It was beautiful to see. Okay, so it's kosher l'mahadrin, you could buy any of our plants for Shemitah. Now, the truth is there's a big machlokas about whether something that is used stam for decoration, whether that is considered to be usur b'svichin. So let's say, if you have a smell in the flower, you can't say it's only for decoration. And we talked about things that are for smell or for dyeing. So those things would be usur. But how about if it's a perennial flower? So then the question is, it grows itself, or does it have to be something that you would necessarily grow? Or is there always a suffix that maybe it had started growing already in the sixth year? So, and there's also a lot of flowers that grow from hydroponics. So then the question is, do you have a rove in the shuk that is certainly not going to be usur svichin, because either it grew in the south, or it grew among the goyim, or it was at the mechira, even though the fact is that heter mechira is not generally offered to people who are just growing flowers, but many of them take it anyway to be able to show that they have heter mechira, and they shouldn't need to get any other kind of hechsher anyway. That would mean that if you know that this flower is lemaisa perennial, and it's not a smelly flower, so then for sure it shouldn't be any problem at all. You don't need for IKEA to tell you that it would be mutter. If lemaisa is the kind of flowers that need cultivation, okay, so then, again, if it's the kind of thing that started to grow before, so then based on the chazan issue, it would be mutter. If not, so then you would need to have the unless you have one of those charts that tell you exact, and you're a good bucky in the flower, and you know what flower name is what, so then you could look at your chart and see whether there's a chashash or svichin, and you would try to get a heter. So what we were talking about when we went through the various shitas about what is considered to be the svichin, I want to point out to you that there's a problem in this perek that leads a lot of the Mefarshei HaMishnah to read the end of the first Mishnah in a way that has no reference to Svichin, which is weird. The reason that they do this is because why would we go from Mechira to Am Haaretz into Svichin? But the point is that they're being fooled by the fact that it's written up as the same Mishnah. The topic of the Perek are the Isurim of Shemitah that come about because of buying from an Am Haaretz and the Chashash of Kedusha Shviyis, the question of Svichim, which is a Gezeirah D'Rabbanan, as we spoke about yesterday, unless you're going like Rabbi Akiva, and the time of Biur, which we're going to be discussing starting tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. These are things that are going to influence your ability to eat the foods in Shemitah, even though Shemitah is not there in order to asser things on you. Or we'll see that that's really something of a machlokas rishoni. So what happened is, because of that, many of the mefarshim of this Mishnah take the second part of the Mishnah that starts talking about svichim as seems to be a non sequitur. Why in the world are we suddenly talking about Svichim? So when Rabbi Yehuda comes along and he says, let's take a look at the closing of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Svichi chardal are mutarim. They don't understand that to mean Svichim the way we were explaining it. According to any of the approaches, what are Svichim? Were the seeds dropped from before? Or whether things were just grew up because there were still roots in the ground? Or seeds that are spread in the wind? No, they understand this to mean that things that had grown from the seeds that were there before Shvius, specifically, is a completely different question, whether there's a chashash on an Am HaAretz. So in other words, they view this as a continuation of the first part of the Mishnah that talks about the Isser of giving money of Shemitah to Am HaAretz. So this is the other side. Is an Am HaAretz chashud on Shamur, which were anyway we don't paskin, the Isser of Shamur? But if that's the case, so then what he would be saying is, Svichei Chardal, nobody would be Shomer Svichei Chardal. They're left for everybody to collect. They're all over the place. And therefore, since Lo Nechshedu Aleihem Ovrei Avera, which Ovrei Avera? The Ovrei Avera of bringing them from fields that were actually planted in our Shomer during Shvius. And Rabbi Shimon says, actually, you can buy from anybody again, because it's a reference to the beginning of the Mishnah. So Kol HaSvichim are mutter to buy even from Am HaAretz, because those are not things that people are shomer, and therefore they're probably hefker. So what would be the problem? So in other words, this is, first part of the Mishnah is the Am HaAretz vis-a-vis the Mischar in Shvius, in which the Kesef becomes Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvius, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And the second part is also Am HaAretz, but the question of the things in the end of the Am HaAretz, what is the kashrus of those things? Masha'inkein, when it comes to Svichei Kruv, those things, since Ein Kayotzei Behem B'Yarkot Sadeh, you don't have such things as beautiful big kruvs that grow on their own. They had to be cultivated, and because of that, you have to be cautious. But those are regular garden cultivated things, and that the Am HaAretz actually was over on Shemitah to do it. Whereas Chachamim Omrim, Kol HaSvichim Asurim, according to this, and this is very interesting, because this was the Rambam's original pshat, which he apparently had Charata from, in Mishnah Terah, but this was the Rambam's original pshat in the Pirush HaMishnayos when he was young, so that this would be a continuation of the first part of the Mishnah. Masha Enkin, the way that we were explaining it, was the way that later we see the Mefarshim understanding it differently. And that would mean, so one approach is that we're going over here according to the Gezerah of Svichim, and that is not like Rabbi Akiva, but there's a Gezerah de Rabbana on Svichim because we're afraid that people will plant and pretend that these things grew on their own. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Svichei Chardal or Mutter because nobody plants that. But Enoch Inami, because of the Gezerah of Ovrei Avera, any other Svichim are Asurim because they can bring it to you and claim that they're Svichim. Mashen Ken, nobody is Choshed to plant Chardal. Rabbi Shimon says that actually there weren't gozer on any Svichim. Why not? Because it's easy to see a plant that has been carefully cultivated and cared for versus a plant that was never cultivated and just grew wild, except for Kruv. Kruv, you cannot tell the difference. And over there, they always look like they've been cared for. They're so big and they grow so well, even in the wild. So since Enke Yotzei Behem Yarkot Sadeh doesn't mean you won't find something like them, it means you cannot tell the difference with Kruv the way you would with other things that grow in the Sadeh. And the Chachamim say there was a general gezerah. We did not make an afkamina between different types of things, Chardal, Kruv, and so on. We have one gezerah on Svichim. Fine. The other approaches, as we mentioned when we were talking about Svichim, is the question of what is the din of something that grew up partially during the Shishis, and then the Lakita and the closing part of the Gito was Bishvias. So Rabbi Shimon says that type of thing you could eat assuming that they are all from the Shishis, and most of the Gito was from before. Masha Enkein, Svichei Kruv, those are different because we're afraid that you went ahead and brought even from the new Kruv, and there's no way to tell the difference because of the size and the way they grow. There's no way to tell the difference. And the Chachamim Aser, all Svichin, as the Gezerah, based on Svichei Kruv. Since Svichei Kruv, you can't tell the difference, we answered all of the Kruvim. Okay, there's also, but just you should know, the same Mishnah appears in Psochim with the exact opposite Girsa. So, which is called Asvichim Asurin Chutz B'Svichei Kruv, which are Mutarim, which is totally different. Okay, so that would be talking about where the Gidol was during Shvias. Here we're talking about where the Gidol is during Shishis, and that means we have basically three different ways of looking at the Mishnah, one of which is the Chashash of Shimur, one of which is the Din of Svichim that grew essentially in Shishis, and one of them is about the Gezer of things that grew during Shvias, the standard type of Svichim. Okay, I just wanted to finish our first Mishnah, which now has two completely different parts, and then Bezrat Hashem tomorrow, we will be zeichet to go on to the Mishnah, which Rav Barnea has prepared us with so many different charts, maps, and so on, and hopefully we'll have a lot to add to the audio. Have wonderful days. Thank you for giving me the extra time. Kol tov, everyone.